We are asking the EEOC to consider our case involving two flight attendants who were fired for their faith. We'll talk to the former general counsel at the EEOC, who herself was fired earlier this year by her new boss, Joe Biden, perhaps because of her efforts to oppose religious discrimination in the workplace. We will talk about all that as we go along the way here. Before we get started, though, I just want to thank you for liking and sharing our videos. Thank you in advance for doing that. You are an important part of this project, and we appreciate your support for the work that we're doing here and your interest in what we talk about every week. You know, Sharon Gustafson has specialized in employment discrimination law for many, many years, for decades. In 2019, she became the first woman to serve as the general counsel for the EEOC, which lasted until March, we should add. And we will talk about that, as I mentioned along the way. Hi, Sharon. Can you hear me okay? Oh, it looks like we've lost your video. We'll give her a moment to see if it comes back.
How are you?
I'm good. I'm going to switch my Wi-Fi here, which may break things, but we'll see what happens. Is that a better connection? There we go. Sharon, can you hear me okay?
I sure can. Can you hear me?
I can now, yeah. We're having some issues with the connection, but I'm hoping that I just got that straightened out. We do this on a shoestring, so I'm always thrilled when it works at all, which is a good day. I think the best way to explain your work at the EEOC is in the context of a case that we just started involving two flight attendants who were fired by Alaska Airlines. On an employee-only website, the airline expressed its support for the controversial Equality Act, which is currently in Congress. And because of their religious convictions, the flight attendants just voiced their concerns. They asked questions about it and asked whether the company should be doing that. Alaska Airlines fired them then. And you are an expert at the highest level when it comes to this. Tell me your reaction when you hear just the basics of that case. What do you think?
It's a very concerning case. And it's the sort of case I was interested in when I was at the EEOC. This is a situation where the employer solicited comments from the employees, solicited their opinions about the employer's support of the Equality Act. But then when employees showed that they had some religious beliefs that gave them religious-based opinions about things, they were promptly and summarily discharged.
Yeah.
That's concerning. And I'm really glad that First Liberty is here doing what it's doing and taking on these cases, because these are not easy cases and they can go on for many years. And of course, in this case, the employees had just been terminated. So very often employees in this situation have a wrongful termination. They can't afford lawyers, and it's good that First Liberty is there for them.
Yeah, and that's part of what we do. I mean, we never give a bill to the people that we represent. And I should mention that Sharon Gustafson is now, they call it of counsel is the official term in the legal world for your connection with us. Not an employee, but I think for most people, you think of it as kind of like a contractor. Is that a good way to put it?
I think that's right.
Yeah, at least get it close. Many people wonder, because when you think of us filing a case against a corporation, you would think we would go to the courthouse. But in this instance, we went first to the EEOC. Why is that the first stop on the way in this kind of situation?
Because Title VII, the statute that prohibits discrimination based on religion, it's the same statute that prohibits discrimination based on race and sex. That statute says that the place that you begin is by filing a charge of discrimination with the EEOC.
And then what happens next after that? It goes one way or the other, I suspect, obviously.
Well, what happens is that the EEOC does an investigation, and the EEOC will talk to the flight attendants who complained of discrimination with those who were fired.
Yeah.
I expect that the EEOC will likely talk to the employer, get a position statement from the employer, ask the employer for information, send them questions. You know, they'll be interested to see how did the employer treat other non-religious persons who expressed views. And in this case, it was interesting because the employer, if I remember correctly, had posted something about three strikes and you're out. If you post things online that we don't like, we'll tell you about it. And after three times we've spoken to you about it, we won't let you post anymore. In this case, the employer didn't even do any of that. They just terminated the employees.
And even, I mean, when you hear that, you would think it would refer to things that are posted that are highly offensive or completely off topic. But in this case, they were just expressing an opinion about a bill in Congress on a forum for employees that was open for employees to comment about the bill in Congress that the company supported. So it makes no sense what they did.
Well, it's interesting because the bill in Congress is highly controversial. It was first proposed back in 1974. It's come up again and again in one form or another. It's never passed. And the reason it hasn't passed is because it is controversial, especially right now, because it expressly says that the Religious Freedom Restoration Act will not be an available defense to employers if that law is passed.
Which I should mention was signed into law by Democrat Bill Clinton back in the day with an overwhelming majority in both chambers of Congress. I mean, it had bipartisan support at the highest level, but now it's fallen out of favor with certain political activists out there. You've worked with a lot of people over the years who were at odds with their employer. If you could offer some encouragement to the flight attendants who were fired about what they should be thinking and how they should get through this, what would you say to them?
I would tell them to take courage. I mean, they already have been courageous, I think. Whenever anybody is willing to say what he or she believes, especially if it's not the majority opinion about something, it takes a little bit of courage to do that. It's easier to just swim with the stream with everybody else. And so I think somebody who's stepping out of that line and saying, whoa, whoa, what about this? I think that takes some courage. So I would tell them to continue with that. I think it's also very important for them to remember, once they have attorneys working for them, they should try to just turn it over to the attorneys and not spend their lives worrying about that.
Yeah.
Look for new jobs and try to go on with their lives as best that they can. But I think it's important for them to realize that what they're doing not just to help themselves, but to help people all the way across the country.
I should mention that your situation is somewhat analogous to theirs. It's not perfectly, but you had a similar situation this year. Let's talk about what happened to you. You were the first woman general counsel at the EEOC. Your term, and that position, most people don't know this, but the terms run for a set amount of years. Yours was set to go through 2023. But the new administration comes in, and they say, hey, it's time for you to resign. What happened next?
They came to me and asked me to resign, and I respectfully declined, and so I was terminated.
Yeah, and it's not unusual for some federal employees at that level in the kind of job you had to move between administrations, because it's not a partisan position. It's about upholding justice under the Constitution. That's what you do, right?
That's right. It's about enforcing the statutes that the EEOC enforces, Title VII, the Disability Act, and the Age Act.
Yeah. And as you were going through all this, you had just finished up a significant report on religious discrimination in the workplace. It got posted on the EEOC website in January, but then as all this was happening, it suddenly vanished from sight and never to be seen again. What was the focus of that report, and why would it be that they might want to take it down?
I was really pleased with that report and with the work that we did getting it put together. I really believe in the work that the EEOC does. I believe in non-discrimination in the workplace. I had perceived over the years from calls that I had gotten from many employees that religious discrimination sort of was a second-class right at the EEOC, that people weren't getting the same kind of energetic protection that they were getting for, say, race or sex discrimination or disability discrimination. I wasn't sure of it, but it felt that way to me.
Yeah.
As I looked into it, I saw that the EEOC actually had a very good track record of bringing religious discrimination claims that fell into certain categories. If you needed a certain day off of work, they brought several of those Sabbath day observance cases. If you needed to wear certain clothing or have a certain kind of beard, there were certain, even the vaccine cases, they were very good at those. But if you had traditional religious beliefs about human sexuality, those, I had not seen the EEOC protecting employees from discrimination for those kinds of religious beliefs. And so I thought we should look into it and see if this was a widespread problem. So what we did was we put together a great set of people from the EEOC all over the country who were working on this. And we got in touch with religious organizations all over the country. We had Christians, Jews, Hindus, Muslims. I know there were others. I don't remember who all was there, but it was a nice cross-section. Yeah. We brought people together to talk about what sorts of religious discrimination that people in their groups were experiencing. And it was interesting what we found out. It was a very robust discussion with people. They were very interested, so pleased that the EEOC was looking into this. And then we wrote a report that I think I had reason to be proud of. It was a good report. It explained what all of these people were saying about the religious discrimination that their members were facing, and just a few suggestions about what might be done. But it was taken down. And we had a podcast about it that was also taken down. And it all happened at the same time.
Yeah. Many people are surprised when they find out, because First Liberty Institute is a faith-based organization. We have a Christian foundation. But we have represented Muslims. We have represented American Indians. We are currently representing synagogues on the East Coast and the West Coast and here in Texas. Explain why that is. Why is it so important to make sure that everyone has religious freedom under the Constitution?
Well, the Constitution calls for that, and Title VII calls for that, too. We're not just interested in protecting people of our own religion. Everybody should be interested in protecting people of all religions or people who have no religious faith at all. We either have religious freedom and religious protections for everybody, or we have it for nobody. If the government is going to protect certain religions and not others, that is not religious freedom. So it's very important to us as Americans that we make sure everybody is protected.
I want to get your thoughts on the issue that's at the heart of the flight attendants case and that perhaps played a part in your termination as well. It's the competing claims between people of faith in the workplace and LGBTQ activists in the workplace, and each is trying to establish their rights to do something. In this case, we saw the flight attendants get fired. It's a minefield, but I've heard you say that it's possible for employers to navigate that minefield. What would that look like in a real workplace?
I absolutely believe that it's possible. And it's not just possible, it's absolutely required by the law.
Yeah.
As the Bostock case made clear, the Supreme Court made clear recently in the Bostock decision, employers, and we're talking about secular employers now, cannot discriminate against people based on homosexuality or transgender status. The court held that those are protected by way of the protections against discrimination on the basis of sex. And so it's important that be enforced. So no employer should treat someone worse because of homosexuality or transgender status. No employer should permit harassment on those bases either. The same thing is true for religion. It is extremely important that employers not treat less well any employee because of that employee's religious beliefs or practices or observances. And it's very important that the employer not permit any harassment of people based on their religion. And with religious discrimination, it's interesting because the law requires something else that it doesn't require for everything else. And that is accommodation. The law does require accommodation for disabled people, but also law requires accommodation for religion. And by that, the law says that the employer must accommodate the employee's religious beliefs and observance and practice, unless to do so would be an undue hardship for the employer.
Along with that, it always strikes me, and this is something I've heard talked about when this conversation comes up, it's always important to note that the Establishment Clause and the Free Exercise Clause put religion in a constitutionally protected category, that it's right there in the Bill of Rights. But yet, often in our nation, it doesn't seem to be regarded as that. It seems that there are these other competing claims that seem to want to take precedence over that. What's your observation on that?
I think it's fear-based. I think that LGBTQ activists, some of them, not all of them, of course, but some of them have in mind that the only way to protect people from LGBTQ discrimination is to suppress religious freedom rights. And that is just absolutely not true. I mean, I've worked in that workplace at the EEOC. I worked with transgender people, people homosexual people, heterosexual people, religious people, our religious people, and everybody worked together very well. And that can happen in any workplace. Nobody harassed anybody else. America is, we're a pluralistic society. We have people with, you know, very divided beliefs, religious beliefs and other beliefs. And part of what makes us so great as a country is that we have unity, not by trying to stamp out diversity, but by coming together and saying, despite the fact that we are so diverse, we respect each other and we will work well together. That's what we are as Americans. And that's what we are by law under the First Amendment and under Title VII.
There was a situation you were involved with while you were at the EEOC that involved grocery store chain Kroger and employees who wanted a religious accommodation not to wear a particular apron. Tell me about that.
Kroger put out some new aprons, just little standard navy blue aprons that their cashiers and deli workers wore.
Yeah.
And the apron had a logo on it. It was a heart, but with some different colors, rainbow colors. And a couple of the women who worked there believed that this was celebrating LGBTQ rights. And they didn't feel, because of their religion, they didn't feel that it was something they could celebrate. So they went to their employer separately. One of them asked for the ability to bring in a different apron from home. She said, it won't be any cost to the you, Kroger. I'll get my own. It'll look just the same, but it won't have that logo. Another one asked that she simply be able to put her name badge over the logo. And both of them were fired.
Wow.
And I think this case is a very, very good example of something that's gone awry in the workplace. What the employees were asking for was a very modest accommodation. And it's interesting because some people, you know, said to me, well, we don't think the EEOC should have brought that case because it suggests that you're in favor of discrimination against LGBTQ people. But nothing could be further from the truth. As I explained to people, if those employees had been harassing people based on their sexual orientation, I would not have thought we should bring that case. But those employees harassed nobody. They simply said, please don't make us say things we don't believe. Don't make us celebrate through this logo something that violates our religious beliefs. And I believe that's something that they should have been granted.
And that seems to be at the crux of this whole debate in the nation, and that is there are those in society right now and at many employers who don't want to allow you to just take a neutral stance. They want to get you to affirm, support, make statements, wear, you know, logos, whatever, that back a particular political point of view, and they don't even want employees to be allowed to be neutral anymore.
I think you're right, and that's very concerning to me. We have freedom of, not only freedom of religion, but freedom of speech. Nobody should be forced to say anything he or she doesn't believe, whether it's political, religious, or otherwise. And I know another case came up, I think it was Starbucks, I'm pretty sure, where somebody was asked to wear a company t-shirt that had pride symbols or something. I can't remember what it looked like. And the employee asked simply to be able to wear another polo shirt and was fired for that. So this is the problem if we treat religious non-discrimination like a second class right. We wouldn't put up with this. We wouldn't put up with this in any other context. People being fired because of sex or fired because of race or anything like that. And yeah. We cannot put up with it because of religion either.
Stories like that have a chilling effect, I think, on people all over the nation in the workplace. And their first reaction when challenged like this is fear. They don't want to say anything. They don't want to raise a ruckus. They figure, well, I'll just keep my thoughts and beliefs to myself and just go along. What's your advice for someone who feels they are being discriminated against in the workplace? How should they respond? What should they do?
They should file a charge of discrimination. That's what they should do. And let me say this. You have a right to speak about religion the same way you have a right to speak about baseball, the same way you have a right to speak about politics, the same way you have a right to speak about what you're cooking for supper. There is no law that prohibits people from discussing religion in the workplace. And a lot of people find religion very interesting. I had people at the EEOC who said to me, asked me about religious questions and said, I enjoy talking about religion, people with a different religion from mine. So this is just something that people like to talk about sometimes, and they should be able to. Of course, at the same time, no one is allowed to harass somebody because of their religion. So employees should make sure that when they're talking to somebody, the speech is welcome. And if it's somebody who doesn't want to hear about your religion, you shouldn't be talking about it. But it's just like every other thing. Polite people can talk about whatever they want to talk about, as long as it's not harassing to others. If you're in a situation where you've just gone about your business, you've been a good citizen and good employee, and you've just stated your religious position on something and you're discriminated against because of it, you should file a charge of discrimination with the EEOC. You can find these charges online. Their attorneys can give them to you. You'll go for an intake interview, and somebody at the EEOC will listen to your story and maybe help you draft your charge. My suggestion would be to take it to a lawyer and have somebody else look at it before it's filed. But you go through the EEOC process, and they see if the situation can be remedied there. And if it can't be, then the employee has a right to file a lawsuit in federal court.
You've worked in the executive branch. You have won a case at the Supreme Court. You have a resume that's highly impressive. You could be doing a lot of things right now, but you chose, among other things, to be doing some work with us here at First Liberty. What attracted you to the work that we do in particular?
I really believe in, and I'm going to sound like a patriot here, I really believe in America and what it stands for. I really believe in religious freedom. I'm so happy to be giving some of my time to protecting religious freedom, not only for employees, but also for employers. And religious organizations have a right to hire people of their own faith. And that's something that is under attack right now. And so I'm happy to be working on those kind of issues. I think it's important, as I've already said, religious freedom is not something that only Christians believe in. But I happen to be a Christian. And the reason that I, as a Christian, am so interested in religious freedom is because I have good news to share. You know, I have the good news to tell people that because of his great love for us, Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners. And I want to live in a country where I'm free to say that to people, where I'm free to tell people that they can be reconciled to God for eternity. And that is a right that we have that is very precious and very important, and we must protect it, and we must get together and protect it. And we don't protect it by just trying to be polite and quiet. We protect it by using the courts when necessary to say religious speech is protected.
Well, we are honored to have you working alongside us on some of these cases that we do, and we're very happy to have you sharing that road with us. Anything else you'd like to share? I've really enjoyed this conversation. Anything else you'd like to share before I let you go?
I would just say, you know, we've talked about the EEOC a little bit and some of the problems there, but I just want to say it was a great job that I had. It was fun, and I worked with a great set of people there. Just smart, dedicated, hardworking people. And I think, you know, when you explain this to people, some of them really get it and are on board. And I think that we need to take advantage of that and use the process in a way that's helpful to individuals and to religious organizations.
All right. Sharon Gustafson, great chatting with you. Great to having a conversation with you. A lot of good
My
insights
pleasure.
In there, things to think about. If you'd like to learn more about our case with Alaska Airlines, you want to watch our episode where we interviewed Lacey Smith and our attorney on that case, David Hacker, one of several. We'll put a link to that in the text below so that you can find it. Again, it'll be under Alaska Airlines. Her name is Lacey Smith. You'll see it in there. If this is something that matters to you, and you want to make sure people of faith who are discriminated against in the workplace get expert representation at no cost, you can do that by supporting the work we do here at First Liberty Institute. Just look for the big red give button at firstlibertylive.com. We appreciate your support. Let me just say thank you from all of us in advance for doing that. Next week, our guest will be First Liberty President Kelly Shackelford. We will get an update on our national effort to oppose the Biden administration's scheme to try to pack the Supreme Court with brand new seats in addition to the ones that are already there, now all for political ends. It's something we call the Supreme Coup. We'll get an update on that and tell you what's been happening with that and what happens next. We will see you next time right here on First Liberty Live.